We are the called out ones. We are his children. We are the ambassadors of his kingdoms. We are heirs of the kingdom to come. We are the salt and light. And isn't that quite amazing what God is doing in our lives? And we want to just share with you and encourage a few in a few things. And as Arthur laid such an amazing foundation of what God is doing, is when our Father loved us so much that he sent his Son Jesus Christ in the flesh. And I think that is so amazing, because as we are walking in this world in the flesh, Jesus Christ has showed us how to walk in fulfillment of it, how to walk a life that is completely fulfilled, which is blessed, that is godly, that walks in victory, and that we can overcome. Amen? So we are victorious in the flesh. And there's certain things that sometimes veil us or hinder our sight or come before us that sometimes we have to deal with and remove so that we can see the full picture, so that we can walk as children of the light, so that we can be ready in season and out of season to preach the gospel, to encourage each other and to stir each other up. So what we share this morning is going to help us walk this walk. We get lots of teaching and we get lots of preaching, which is good. It's all training. But there's a time where we need to walk our walk. Okay. And I think God is calling us now to step out and to walk this walk, to go and preach the gospel, to go and make a difference into this world. Do you know that you and I are heirs of the kingdom to come? And he's given us, as we are his body, to go and prepare the way for his second coming. Okay. So Thor and I are going to share some Holy Spirit life lessons that we learned on this walk that we went on, that we're going to share with you, that the Holy Spirit revealed to us. It was like a, you know, in a big organization, we do a SWOT analysis. Well, whilst we were walking, God revealed to me my strengths, my weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And God does that all the time, every day in our walks, in our businesses, at homes, when we're talking to our neighbors, wherever we go. And we need to be just listening to the Holy Spirit all the time so that we can walk a walk which is worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ making a difference. So we've got some points that we're going to go through with you, and I want you to identify with these, because I'm sure as the Holy Spirit led us and revealed these things to us, you'll identify things in your lives. And what I want to do today is give us all a little bit of a push, a little bit of a shove to start walking, to start going, to start believing, not in yourself, but believe in Jesus. Because when you believe in Jesus, you can do all things. When we put the focus on ourselves, I tell you, you wait and you ponder and you never get going. So we were fortunate enough to go on a trip. It's called the Tankwa Camino. It's in the Karoo. You walk from Calfinia to Ceres. It's 260 kilometers in the Karoo. There's nothing. So you start off and you do it over 10 days. You walk about, you average 28 Ks a day, sometimes 20, 26. The last day was a little bit shorter, but you're averaging on 28 kilometers a day. You go there, we were a group of 52. We get together, we go there, you've got to pack for this trip. You walk every single day. You've got to walk, let's just say, 28 kilometers. What you do is you take with you a backpack, which you've got to take your water, your breakfast, and your lunch for that day, and whatever other needs that you'll need for the day. In the evening, you've got your tent. You've got to pitch up your own tent. You get 5 liters of water every day, 5 liters to wash and to do whatever you need to do. Normally, we switch on our showers and we bath and everything. Soak our feet. Okay, we've got to pitch up our own tent. We got to pack for the next day, our breakfast, our lunch. We got to get organized. We got to wash the dishes that we use during the day. Then we got to go. We got to have a meal. Then you got to come back. You sleep in your little tent. You got to wake up at 5:30 in the morning. It's pitch dark with a head. You got to pack. You got to dress. You got to get ready. You got to pack everything up. You got to take it to the truck. They take it to the next destination, and you walk for 28 kilometers every day. It's grueling. We had people that have done the Comrades. Walk Kilimanjaro, one lady walked Kilimanjaro 4 times. They all said, it's nothing compared to this walk. So it was very, very difficult, very hard, but it was an amazing walk, and we learned so much. So what we want to share with you is some of the life lessons that we learned, which has made a difference in our lives and is going to continue to make a difference in our lives. And maybe we can share it with you because you might identify with a few things that you want to change in your life in order to line up your walk with God. Amen. Right. The first one, act on your goals. There's so many people that say, I would love to do this Camino. I would love to do this. I'll do it when I can get around to it. I'll do it when my children are bigger. I'll do it when, and we make so many excuses. I want to tell you, if you've got a goal, act on it. Do something, otherwise you'll never get around to it. So I want you to think, is there a desire in your heart, something that you know that God has done for you, or something that you want to do that you know is going to be amazing, that's going to make you look into yourself, do something about it. Either, if there's a deposit, pay the deposit. Where your treasures are, so your heart will be. Commit to it. Maybe get a friend and say, listen, would you like to walk with us? We got two friends that came with us. We committed to them. They actually paid the deposit before we did and said, okay, guys, we're in this. You see, we had committed to it. So if you've got a goal, do something about it. How many of you have got goals that have just been sitting there in line there and you haven't done anything about it? Do something about it. I read in an article once, it was called Throw Your Hat Over the Fence. And what this guy says is he was walking along and he wanted to get to the other side of this fence. There was a lovely field. But this fence was quite difficult to get hold of, to get over. And he knew he was going to battle to get over this fence. So he was humming and ahhing and he was thinking, am I really going to, do I want to get over this? And he had this lovely hat that he always loved to wear. He took this hat and he threw it over the fence. In other words, he had now committed himself. He needed to get over that fence to get his hat. So I'm saying to you, if you've got a goal, throw your hat over the fence so that you've got to achieve your goal. Amen. First point.
Sorry, that's me.
Let's push this one.
Go prepared. Now, if anyone knows me, I do stacks of research beforehand. So I've read every single article on the Tanqua. I read every commentary on every website about the Tanqua. And so in my mind, I thought, no, I was quite well prepared. I had the packing list. Every single item on the packing list was packed, was ticked off. And I, in my mind, thought that I was ready for this. And in all of this, you know, we have to look and say, that scripture from 2 Timothy, and Craig will finish off with it, 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, where it says, be ready in and out of season. So the encouragement on that is that where the Lord leads you, be prepared. Do your homework, line yourself up. If it means you want to go to a nation, prepare yourself. What's the culture in the nation? What's the economic issues that they are dealing with? What are some of the challenges that they are facing? What's the spiritual climate like? You know, be prepared about these things. If there's something that the Lord stirred up in your heart, if there's a ministry that you want to get involved in, well, what does that mean? How are you going to add value to it? Be prepared, do your homework, and get your heart into it. Point two. Next one, babe.
Next one is enter the main event. I think so many of us are even we come to church, read our Bible, we get knowledge, we get understanding, but we never actually go out there into that main event. So I just want you to know, you never ever feel adequate. You never ever feel totally prepared. You never ever feel quite good enough to do what God has called you to do. But you know what? You need to enter into the main event. Jesus has qualified you. We trained for this walk, and we would go into the Modafontein Reserve and we'd walk. And we did a lot of training, and we walked and we walked and walked. But even the couple that we walked with, we never ever felt ready. We always felt sure, you know, we need to be maybe walking another, maybe we need to be walking longer, or we need to be doing more. We need to now carry all our packs. We need to take food. And it's always, you know, we need to get this. We need to do this. There comes a time where you say, I am ready. I am prepared, and I need to enter into this main event. I need to go and preach the gospel. I need to go to my friends. I need to go to my neighbors. I am equipped and I am ready. You know, we can keep on coming here. We can come to impact, and that's all good things. That's part of our training and being prepared. But there is a time where you need to go. You look at Jesus. He sent his disciples out. They were nowhere adequate, nowhere prepared. They came back, they messed it up. They were gloried for the wrong reasons, because they were casting out spirits, you know, healing the sick. And Jesus said, whoa, just hold on, this is why. And he continued to prepare them, but he kept on sending them out. He sent them in the main event. They went and prepared the way. So if you feel quite not adequate yet, if you feel, I'm not skilled yet, sure, that person knows so much, that preacher preaches so well, that guy can quote verses just like this, you know, it does not matter. You are equipped. Go out and do what you do. All right. I remember I did an apprenticeship as an appy. You used to call it an appy as an apprenticeship. And we went through the whole training module for months. We were skilled. We went through the practicals and we went to tech and we learned all the calculations and formulas. But when they actually gave us a pump or a turbine, we didn't know what we're doing. We actually had to do it physically, take it apart and do the actual job. And that's where you get your experience. So go out there. You're ready and equipped to do the work of God.
Less is more. The amazing thing with this trip is, as I said before, I do a lot of research beforehand and the packing lists and all of that. And the one thing that I realized as we were on the trip is that I overpacked. I'd overprepared. We had two bins. It was required to be 50 liters. I sneaked in 60 liters. And so as a result, we had 20 liters extra things. And we actually came back with 5 days worth of food, just to give you an idea of how well prepared I was. And the one thing that I realized on this trip was that less is really more. You know, we go through our lives, we live in a city where we've got lotions and potions for most things. I was so blessed when I got home and got into my shower and was able to really give my hair a proper wash, the first wash in, I think it was 14 days, to realize that I had 3 different makes of shampoo in my shower. And the Lord was really speaking to me about this thing of excess. You know, that we go through our lives with so many things. And the more things we have, the more time we have to spend on looking after it. I realized that on around about day 4 on the tanker, the brain started going a bit mushy. Okay? You can't remember where you put your head torch. You can't find your socks. You don't know what you've done with the plasters. Then you've missed your tackies. Then Craig would say, oh, now where's the sprock for having breakfast tomorrow? And then he'll pack out his whole bag, and then we'll repack the whole bag. And then we look in the bins. And then we're trying to find things. And, you know, on this journey, there was a pastor, Roy. He traveled with us, and every night he would share a message with us and just encourage us and so on. And he said it's the strangest thing that as we go through this process of getting used to having less, we want to hang on to the less. So he says, so this, he doesn't know what it is, but the psychological thing happens that from about day 4, all the hikers, all the walkers do is pack in and pack out. So literally you would see at night people pack their boxes out and pack them back in. Look at things, pack them back in. And this was such a lesson for me just to realize that the Lord's saying, no, can you strip things from your life? Can you strip things from your life? And can you accept that less is more? The more we have, the more we have to take care of it. The Lord's saying, simplify, simplify. So in October, I'm purging my house, our house. So I'll be making announcements from about the first weekend of October to say, okay, now there's linen, please come help yourself. Now there's crockery, please come help yourself. Now there's lotions and potions, please come help yourself. So keep a watch, keep a watch. Less is more.
Sorry, and just on that, when we on the last day we were finished, everyone had food left over and everyone had clothes that they didn't wear. We are so worried that we're going to go hungry. And then we're not going to have enough to wear. That we're so busy packing our wardrobes and packing our cupboards, yet we can do with so far less than what we need. The next one. Walk your walk. What we found is there was 52 of us, and people would leave at different times. You'd hear 4:30, you'd be lying in your tent and you'd hear people packing up in the dark with their head torches, packing up, going, packing up everything, getting their hot water, filling up their flasks, doing what they have to do, grabbing fruit, putting their stuff at the back of the truck and hitting the road early in the morning. You see, they wanted to get out early so that they could stop and rest, and they wanted to get to the camp because we would start at about 7 and we would get back at about 3:30 from walking the walk. Some people wanted to get there a little bit early so that they could have time to pitch up their tent again and to dry everything off, because when you're packing up, there's no grass or anything. It's sand, it's mud, so everything's dirty and wet and everything's, so you've got to fold it out and you can dry it. Some people would leave very early in the morning. We found that our time is we would wake up at 5:30, we'd go and get some coffee. Thora would sort her feet out and everything. We'd start unpacking and getting ready and packing down. We would leave at 7. We would find some people were still in camp. So the thing is, walk your walk. You know your pace. You know what you're capable of. You know how well prepared you are. You can't walk somebody else's walk. You can't keep up with people in the front. Some of them were a lot fitter than us. Some of them were younger than us. It was amazing how many older people were on this walk. So some of them would rest twice on the walk. We would stop and we'd have breakfast. And there were others, and then we would also stop for a short walk at lunch. That changed, and it actually progressed. So sometimes you make a plan, but it changes on your walk as you feel it's benefited for you. But what I want to know is, don't look at others. Walk your walk. Because it's not about winning the race, it's about finishing the race. You see, we all finished, we all got there. We all got our supper in the evenings. We all got our coffee. We all pitched up our tents. We all got time to soak our feet. Some just did it earlier, some did it later, but we all finished. So walk your walk at your pace. I just want to encourage you, is on your walk as well, you'll get those that will try and pull you along. Or try and say, yeah, why you guys are quite slack, you know, you're at the back, you're always coming in last. Don't worry about that. Let them walk their walk and let you walk your walk. But one thing, be careful of those that will try and keep you back on your walk. You got so many people that would say, oh, just stay a little bit, rest a little bit more, sit with us, but you know that you need to keep moving. So keep moving, walk your walk, but walk at your pace. Okay.
Blisters.
That's Thora's feet.
That's my feet. That's my feet. Blisters. We've actually headed it here, don't let blisters fester, but you could also put in there, don't let hurts fester. Don't let injuries fester. Don't let remarks fester. And the interesting thing with blisters is that... again, a lot of research. So I had prepared my feet really, really well. I had taken all the precautions. Our first aid kit was probably the size of a large handbag. The things that I had taken to be prepared for this walk and for dealing with the blisters. I developed blisters on the fourth day, the end of the fourth day, and I arrived at camp and I was very despondent because I realized that I had another 6 days to go. And I was going to have to walk with this blister. Little did I know that what would actually happen is that I'd get another 10 blisters after that. So the way to deal with the blister is that you put a thread through it, and that's what I was busy doing there. So you take a needle and thread, and you thread your blister and drain the water out. And then what you do is you take a surgical needle and you inject mercurochrome into it. So the first one was really, really hard. But after that, it was just inject me and get it over and done with, because what it actually did is it dried out the blister. Unfortunately, I had, and we spoke about it last night, I had a bit of an obsession with my blisters. Because then what happens with injuries that happen in our lives, we start actually anticipating the injury or the hurt that's going to come. So we start obsessing about it. So if you've had an offense, all of a sudden, you become extremely sensitive to what people have to say all the time. If someone's hurt you, all of a sudden you become very sensitive about it, and you actually guard yourself against injury all the time. So what then happened from about 5 onwards is that I focused on my feet a lot, which was really a bad thing, because what it did is for a while it actually shifted my focus from the scenery and really the purpose of this walk that I wanted to go on. So my encouragement would be, deal with the things in your life and move on. Don't look at them too much. Don't over-treat them. Don't overwrap them. Don't obsess about them. But deal with them, because God's gracious and He wants us to finish our race, like Craig said. He wants us to get to the end. And some of us might be worse for the wear, but the Lord's saying, take your eyes off those things and focus on getting to the end of the end of your walk.
And also, just on that, if you feel an offense, if you feel a hurt, a blister, deal with it immediately. The longer you leave it, the worse it gets, and the more it's going to niggle and hurt you. So as soon as you feel that thing, deal with it straight away. Go to your brother straight away.
I'll also speak about the next one. Don't rest too long. Now, in preparation, we had decided that we'll have breakfast together at about 10 kilometers, and then at 20 kilometers we would have lunch. And the idea was that we would have a rest for about, say, 30 minutes or so. So as you can see, this was, I think this was a lunch rest. You just then go to the side of the road, everyone rolls out their little mats, and you get on with your breakfast or your lunch. The one thing I realized, probably around about day 5, when I started developing more blisters, is that if you rest too long, you rust. And it was very tempting to actually just put your mat out there and just sit there, take your socks off and tan them in the sun for 30 minutes. The problem was that you had to put your socks back on and you had to put your swollen feet back into your shoes and carry on walking, sometimes for another 20 kilometers, sometimes for another 15 kilometers. And I realized soon after around about breakfast on the 5th day, I said to Craig, I actually can't rest that long anymore. So I would quickly sit down, have something to eat, put my shoes back on, and then start walking again. Because the first kilometer, I walked like this. To actually get my feet back into the walking and the blisters to stop pounding. Okay, so I want to say to you, rest is good. Rest is from the Lord. But I want to encourage you, don't lose momentum in resting. That's the lesson from this. Rest, take your time out, but don't go into a complete rest mode, because you're not going to be able to get up and you're not going to be able to finish what God has destined you to finish.
Set small goals to achieve your main goal. So we would get up in the morning, and if you had to look down that road and around the corner and see the road, every 5 kilometers they put up a potty. So what it was is on the side of the road, there was a 20 litre cold water there, so you could top up your water, and there was just this open potty that was facing into the field, and you could go there to the toilet if you needed to. But what you needed to do is you needed to do each little 5 kilometer at a time. You couldn't focus on the main thing, it would just be too much, because it's just so intense. So what you would do is you would just set small goals for yourself. So you would say, right, if we were walking with some people, we would be ready, because the longer you rest, the more difficult it is to get going. Guys, if you're resting in your ministry, get going again. So what we would do is we would say, we're going, we'll meet you at the next potty, the next 5 kilometers. So we'd set small goals, because you can't just walk this whole goal. So what I'll say to you is, if you've got something, just set small goals which keep you moving in the right direction. Not yet. I just wanted to say one thing, is sometimes with the main goal, you're expecting this big downpour of information or this Damascus experience. God doesn't always work like that. I just want to just say, God drip feeds you. As you continue to move with Him, He just drip feeds you. And it's the same with your walk. You are getting filled. The Holy Spirit is working in your life. He is giving you revelation. But sometimes we go and we say, Lord, just give me this down. You know, sometimes you go on this walk and you think, wow, God's just going to open the heavens. You're going to see him and you're going to know your future and you're going to see all things and you're going to come back in part. You actually learn it's about these everyday walks. It's about coming here on Sunday, walking your walk on Monday, Wednesday, etc. God just drip feeds. So take things slowly on the way to your main goal. This was a big one. This was the sunset, by the way. One evening where we camped, we had this amazing sunset. But the next one is surround yourself with encouragers. Surround yourself with encouragers. Surround yourself with those that will listen to you and help you on the way. You find when you're walking and you're hurting, you'll get those that will come past you and say, keep going. Do you need anything? You're doing this. You're looking good from behind. You're going to make this. It encourages you and it keeps you going. Don't surround yourself with negative people. So many people are negative. They'll actually walk. You'll get some people, one or two, not many, but they'll come behind you and they'll say, ooh, you know, you guys are walking very slowly. You're battling. I wonder if you're actually going to make it today. You need to bind those thoughts and say, you know, you guys move on. I'm not going to continue conversing with you. You get negative people that will keep trying to hold you back. Don't know why? It's part of our makeup. It's in the nature. It's in the fallen flesh. So surround yourself with those that will encourage you and those that want to comfort you. We found the one evening it was the hardest day. I think it was day 8. And our stuff was wet and it was pouring with rain. We had wind, we had rain, we had snow. That day it was pouring with rain. We got back to, they offloaded everything. When we got there, we set up our tent and our sleeping bags and everything was wet. But there happened to be a farmhouse there. And they told us before that you can book rooms. You can go in there and those that are there first can have rooms and place to stay. But it wouldn't fit everyone. So we got in quite late and the house was full. Except for one room which they had set aside for the organizers, so no one could have their room because it was the organizers' room. And you'd walk into a room, and I was going to, I said, Thora was trying to dry a sleeping bag. I said, let me go and try and find some space. You'd walk in, and people would say, sorry, there's no space here. But they could see you've just walked, you're hungry, you're cold, you want to rest, and people would still say, and you can see there's space over there. They'll say, no, you know, we need our space. Don't surround yourself with people. There was another room we walked into, and there was the three sisters. They were all squashed. And there was a bed. They said, guys, come, let's carry this bed out. You guys can come here. They were so encouraging. Surround yourself with encouragers. But the amazing thing is God favors his children. Because what happened is Roy came to us and he said, you won't believe the main room that's been kept for the organizers. They're not sleeping here any night. Do you guys want it? So we got that room. Wow. Favor of God. And can I tell you that people were envious and jealous of us? Whose room is this? How did you guys get it? You know? So, and there were those that said, oh, we're so glad that you got it. Surround yourself with encouragers. They keep you going and they keep you moving.
I think Craig's really touched on this, you know, that during a hike like this, you have the super fit and they would finish the 28, 26 kilometers or 31 kilometers within the first 5 hours. And then you would have the middle group, where generally we were, except for the last few days, and then you would have the end group. And during the rest times at the camp and so on, it's so easy to get sucked into this drive that people have to get there first, to set up tent first. Oh, so you were last today. Oh, what happened? You know? And even on an endurance walk like this, that type of thing can happen. And you can measure yourself up to very easily how other people have performed. So this thing of comparison creeps in very, very quickly. Even though you guard your heart against and you say, I'm not going to be like that, it happens. And we had to, during this time, really just constantly refocus ourselves to say, but Lord, what are you saying about us? What are you encouraging us with? Holy Spirit, what are you teaching us through these trying times that we go through? Even with our friends that we walked with, and some people know them here, it's easy to get sucked into a little negative comment, even with people that are close to you. And there again, I would say to you, even if you're walking on this journey and you've got spiritual people walking alongside you, constantly align your ears to listen to what the Lord's saying. Because we can be swayed by what people say and what people think. But the thing is that we are plugged into the Lord, to what He's saying, what He's encouraging us, why He's lifting us up, how He's motivating us. So that's the key thing there.
And just on one thing, you know, communicate with the Lord, and I won't say test the Lord, but prayer to the Lord. I'll tell you, we were walking and there was rainstorms all around us. And people were saying, oh, we're going to get wet, and have you taken this? And I was just saying, Lord, can you just keep the rain away from us? Let it rain all around us. It can rain behind us, but don't let it rain on us. And I can tell you, we walked for a whole day. I got photos where you can see the rain right here. You can see the rain right here, and it never touched us. And I really believe that we can do that. We can say, Lord, you know, we are your children. Keep the rain from us, Lord. You know, and God does it. It's amazing. God can actually do that for us. Okay, be organized and diligent. It removes frustration and confusion. It also gives you a head start. For example, before we walked the next day, because it was going to be dark, we'd pack out our clothes for the next day, we'd put it in a certain place, we'd organize our bags, we'd know where everything is. It just helps you along the way. You can wake up in the dark and you can actually get dressed. You can get all your stuff there. We see people that are disorganized, you know, Thor and I, you walk past our tent, you know, everything's in its place. But it was great because we were organized and we could get going. We walk past other tents and it's like there's stuff all over the show, you know. We would get ready, we would go, and you'd see these people looking for that. I'm just saying, get organized in your life. Even coming to church or going somewhere, you know, we might come home on a Wednesday evening and say, oh, you know, I'm not going to impact, the kids aren't ready, and I've just got this and I've got this to do. Maybe it's because you're not organized. Maybe it's because you're not being diligent, and it's keeping you away from continually being prepared, continue being fed, continue to be in the fellowship of the saints. So get organized. You know, last night we took everything, and we're not always like this, so we're not, you know, I'm just saying, we're learning this. We packed everything, we have everything ready at the door for this morning. We get up, we get ready, put everything in the car, and you go. It makes a huge difference. It gives you time for people, and it gives you time to in God's word. Come prepared.
Enjoy the journey. Now, one of the encouragements on this trip was from, and it was actually from Pastor Roy, and he kept on saying, the first few days, every time he drove past us, because there's a support team going up and down all the time just to check if you're okay, if you need a lift to camp, whatever the case might be. And he said the first few days, every time he drove past the walkers, they would walk like this, just looking down. And the one thing was that he was saying, can you look up? You're on this journey, can you look up? Can you see what is happening around you? Because sometimes when things are hard, we tend to just look down all the time to make sure that we don't stumble, that our feet are on solid ground. But the idea is that we actually lift our eyes up and we enjoy the journey. We see what is going on around us. Because even in the hard times, the Lord will show you the beautiful things. This is a photo of Craig. It's on day 9. And we were walking, well, I didn't walk this day. This day was a recovery day for me because day 8 was a really bad day for me. So I was so sad I didn't walk with the team this day. But in the back there, that's the Maturus Mountains. I don't know if you can see it on the slide clearly. And it's covered with snow. So we woke up that morning and it was freezing cold. So the conditions were really, really tough. But when Craig got into camp that night, the night of day 9, he said to me, it was the most beautiful day. It was the toughest day. It was the longest. It was 31 kilometers. It was freezing cold. The conditions when they started out, it was very, very cold. They had 4 layers of clothes on. But he ended saying, today was the most beautiful day. And I want to encourage you, look up and enjoy the journey.
We're all on this journey together. And the amazing thing is, some of us are hurting differently, but we're all hurting. And I think the amazing thing is, you know, sometimes we say to each other, you know, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. But yet, all of us are hurting in some way and are dealing with a hurt. And it makes it so much easier when we bring it together and we help each other through this journey that we're going on. You know, God's given us everything, but He does bring trials and tribulations which do test our faith and do prove us and make us stronger and do encourage us. But the amazing thing is we all walk this journey together, and we walk through muddy terrain and that, but everyone pulled together, and we would encourage each other. It came to such we came so close together that we would see there was this one couple from Namibia, this old couple, that they would battle along and sore knees, and they would just push along, and they would start out early, and we would all overtake them and go past them, encourage them, tell them to keep going. They would rest and they would hurt, and we would be at camp, and we'd set up camp, and we'd all have our shoes off, and we'd be resting a bit, and it would be starting to get dark, and they would come in. They would persevere, and they would come in. Do you know that everyone would stand up? We would all clap. We would all shout. It was like we were all just joyous. It was like we hadn't all returned home until they had come home. So we are all in this together. And if one person is hurting, we need to help each other. We need to make sure that we all come home together. We need to encourage each other on the way, keep going. But our victory is everyone's victory. We laugh together, we cry together. You know, we are one, we are united. And we've got to remember that, you know, take time to listen to each other, because we're all hurting, but we encourage each other to go. And they pressed on through all of that, and it was such a victory. You know, when we encourage someone and we see them overcome in that time, that's all of our victory. All right, thanks. Okay, we're finishing off now. I think just the last thing I just want to touch on is no matter what the situation or the circumstances, keep walking your walk. You know, we give up so easily, and we saw people that were really digging deep and they finished this race. And I think just sometimes we set goals, but something comes into our path or some hindrance comes in that, and we tend to give up. We tend to fall short of our journey that we are on. Roy, who was the pastor, he's a full-time pastor, he's retired now, but he goes on this and he gives a message every night, and he encourages us, or we all encourage each other. Then he gives us briefing for the next day. He reads the Bible and he prays. And do you know that it can be raining, and he'll call us? And we'll go outside. We've just walked. We'll have to come out of our tents. It's freezing cold. The wind's blowing. It's raining. We sit in those chairs, and he continues to give us the message, and he prays. Most people would stay in their tents, or most people would say, "Oh no, you know, what's going on? You know, I'm cold, I'm tired, I'm hurting. Do we really have to go through this?" And I learned that you need to press on, how much we can actually endure. And I'm just saying, you know, how often do we give up? You know, we might come late on a Sunday, or we've got something on, so we skip a service, or we don't come to Impact, or whatever it is, home church, a prayer meeting. We give up too easily. I tell you, we can dig deeper, and we can endure a lot more than what we think we can endure, because God wants to take us, and He wants us to complete this race. He wants us to learn so we can teach others and we can pull each other along. So I just want to say to you, finish your race. Don't give up. Organize yourself. Get ready. Listen to these points that have gone through, and to better your walk with the Lord. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to close with one verse, and then we're going to break bread. I just wanted to read this verse to you, because this verse summed up a lot of our race, and actually it came out in this morning in the prayer net. It's from 2 Timothy 4:1-8. It says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word." This is an encouragement for every one of you now to preach the word. And if any of these things you're falling short, do something about it now this morning. Be ready in season and out of season. In other words, there's no time that you're not ready. Seasons change, but we're always ready. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming where people will not endure sound teaching, but having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers that suits their own passions. Walk your walk. Keep going. Surround yourself with encouragers. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Have you wandered off your path? Are you still walking the course? Are you still staying on the road? Or have you wandered off? Have you given up? Are you short? As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Guys, we can get through it. I've seen what this body can do. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. This was Paul. He's a good example. And Jesus has enabled us to continue this, to walk as Paul walked. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on the day. And not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. We're going to break bread now, and I just want you to give 2 minutes just to reflect on what we have brought. Just reflect where you're falling short. Just reflect what you have to do, what you might have to get up again and to put right in your life. Enter the race. Do something about where you are finding yourself. If you see you falling short, do something about it. You have the choice. Have you got too much baggage? Either material, spiritually, or emotional. Leave it at the cross now. Get rid of that baggage. It will hinder you. In, out, looking after it. Are you walking your race, or you may be walking somebody else's race? Because it'll be tiring trying to walk somebody else's race. Just think about it. Are you entering your own walk and your own race? Have you got blisters and sores you need to deal with today? Do you need to rest, or have you rested too long? Is it time to get up and going? Because I tell you, when you rest, it's sore, it's difficult to get going again. If you've rested too long, it's time to get up and start walking again. Have you got the right people around you? Are people encouraging you, and are people pulling you along? Because hang out with those people. People that are going will pull you along. Are you too sensitive, and I'll tell you, are you taking things too seriously? Because you need to be hard and you need to get going. Don't give up too easily. So let's pray. Let's break bread and think about those things. And if you need to set yourself right, do it now. Because God can do it. You can make the change. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for what you are teaching us. We thank you for what you are showing us. Father, we thank you that, Lord Jesus, you came and showed us how to walk. We have got no difficulties or no excuses. If we have got the power of the Holy Spirit, and if we have committed to you and been reconciled to our Father, we can endure. We can go through our trials and tribulations. We can deal with our blisters. We don't need to rest too long. We can continue to walk. Help us to walk this walk. Help us to take on the encouragement of the Holy Spirit to fill us again, to run again, to be encouraged. Father, if we've been looking down, if all we've been seeing is the hurts and the walk and the struggles, let us lift up our heads again and see your beauty. Let us see the beauty that you've created for us. Let us see the finish line that you have prepared for us. It's not about winning, but it's about finishing. Father, may we be strong again, and may we get up and going. Father, may we be just excited to continue to go. May we preach your gospel in season and out of season. And if there's anything that's hindering us and anything that's stopping us, we want to put it right now. As we partake of the emblems and as Ivan's going to lead us, Father, may you show us areas in our lives that we have been failing and where you can come and deal with, where we need to make the change. You have done all things, but you're waiting for us to change some things. Father, we commit this into your hands right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well done, Craig and Thoreau. Those are real life issues that we can apply to sort our walk out with Jesus. Amen. And I know in my own life I've got a tendency to overpack. Yeah. Craig, before he went to sat down, we mentioned about just taking some time to sort your heart out. And it's a word that came out this morning about sorting our hearts out and the things that stand before us and Jesus. And those things form barriers in our walk with him. And if you read in the book of Ezekiel, where it talks about that we've brought these things and we've placed them before us and the Lord, and it's formed a barrier in our walk between us and Jesus. And let's just take a minute. I want you to be quiet before the Lord. And if you have barriers in your heart. There are things that you've been holding on to, and you know it's not right. I want to ask you today to lay it down, to lay it at His feet, so that He can come in and He can saturate you with His love and with His peace. Amen. Body was broken for me and you. His blood was shed for me and you. And what was that about? Was to restore that relationship, to restore that intimacy and that fellowship. Jesus is longing for each and every one of us here this morning to walk into that place of intimacy and fellowship with Him. And just through the week in my prayer, I was walking in the garden, I was just praying in the Spirit. And clearly, with a loud voice, I just heard the word communion. I heard the word communion, and Jesus wants to restore that in your life today. To walk and sustain in a place of communion with Him. He paid the price for our sin, He paid the price for our death with His death. It's not just a ritual, but it's looking at the love that He had for us. And when we partake of the elements today, it's not just a ritual, it's not a religious thing, but I want you to look at it today to see the love that He had for each and every one of us here. His body broken for us and His blood shed for us. So in that, I'm going to ask you to come up. To my left or right, there's a table out there and there are at the back there. If you can come up and you can just share the bread and the communion with your families. Amen. Let's come up. Lord, what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat. Covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's drink. Body was broken for us, that his blood was shed on our behalf. We acknowledge that he carried our sickness, sin, disease, sorrow, grief, fear, torment, unforgiveness, strife, and lack for us. Through his sacrifice for us, we have complete forgiveness and cleansing before God, and total deliverance from the works of Satan. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And Father, we love you. We love you, Father. Father, I ask in my heart and my prayer today is that you would lead and that you'd guide us, each and every one of us, individually and as a body, that you'd bring us into a place of intimacy, a place of fellowship with you, place of truly knowing you, God. My prayer today is that it wouldn't be a religious walk, but one out of duty, but a true relationship with you, that it would be real. Father, we love you, and we know that it's not in might, it's not in our own strength, but it's in you and it's through your Spirit. So Holy Spirit, I ask that even right now, that you'd saturate us, that you'd lead us, and that you'd guide us. That this week, and always, Lord, that we would walk in fulfillment of you and of your word, Lord, in all that we would do. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Be blessed. Have an awesome, blessed, prosperous week. Don't run away. We've got coffee, we've got Sammies, and yeah, Craig says, yay. If you need